Technology can be very challenging, as I found out this week. Well, we've been looking at Colossians, which I'm going to continue with this morning to all you beautiful people. I want to read to you what we're going to look at this week. Colossians 2, verses 11 to 15. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and then condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them on the cross. Amen? Yes. When we read Paul's letters, and in Colossians at the moment, Paul builds such a wonderful theological framework for us. And in verses, when Bruce looked at some of the verses last week, including verses 9 to 10, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised. Sorry, I'm going on to 11. But, you know, Bruce was saying to us last week, who is Jesus? You know, he was fully divine, he was fully human, he was in bodily form. And you know, given who Jesus is, we know, remember, from sin, by grace, through faith, we are who we are in Christ. Yes? Yes and amen. So we need to live our life not in the shadows, but in the light. Bruce has spoken to us many times about in him there is no darkness. You know, he is the light of the world, and we need to make sure that we live in the light and not in the shadows. You know, there can be complete darkness, there can be light, there can be shadows. It's like, no, come out of darkness. Don't even live in the shadows. Live in the light of Christ and who he is. I just want to read you that first scripture from 11 to 15 from another version. And it says this. It says it this way. Sometimes it's really good just to look at different versions and how it, the original has been translated. It says, Christ has taken away your selfish desires, just as circumcision removes flesh from the body. And when you were baptized, it was the same as being buried with Christ. Then you were raised to life because you had faith in the power of God who raised Jesus from death. Do we have faith in the power of God? Yes, we do. Verse 13, you were dead because you were sinful and were not God's people. But God let Christ make you alive when he forgave all your sins. God wiped out the charges that were against us for disobeying the law of Moses. He took them away and nailed them to the cross. How good is that? You know, the power of God, the power of his word is so incredibly strong that when we hear the word, it will cut through. It will cut right through and get us to the heart so that we take that in. So I want to have four live in the lights this morning about living in the light pertaining to that scripture. But live in the light of your baptism is the first. You know, you were buried with Christ in baptism. I want to say to you, you know, if any of you haven't been baptized yet, hey, come and see us afterwards. Let's organize for that, because that's really important. When you were baptized, it was the same as being buried with Christ. You know, water baptism, as Bruce has said, is an act of obedience for the believer. It needs to be preceded by repentance, which actually means change. We need to turn away. We need to change away, change from our sin, our selfishness, and everything that goes with it. And we need to change to serving the Lord. It means placing our pride, placing our past, placing everything we own before the Lord. It's giving control of our lives over to him. You know, Peter said in Acts 2:38, each of you must turn from your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Amen. Water baptism too is a public testimony. It's an outward confession of something that has an inward experience that has happened to you. And in baptism, we stand before witnesses confessing our identification with the Lord. And it expresses a profound spiritual truth. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. Would we let what Jesus did for us go for nothing? He did so much for us. And it's not hard, is it, to simply come to him, to repent, to be baptized, to be his follower. In Romans, Paul said, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. And that, when the new day comes, that will be a great and glorious day when he comes. Baptism also indicates a cleansing. This water from 1 Peter again, 1 Peter 3:21, this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, we've all know about you, but when you become a grandma, you have, you know, the little children. And I don't know, do they magnetically attract dirt or something? It's like, before you know what's happened, it's there, it's here, and it's particularly here. I've actually got a photo of my two kids that a friend just so kindly and generously took for me at Free Gone when they had been in the Phrygon store and she had been feeding them an ice block. But with the added thing of, you know, their red sandy little fingers. It was unbelievable. I still have it. I wouldn't throw it away for anything. But, you know, we get dirty physically, but this is talking about not just the soap and water cleansing that they got as soon as they were in the door, but the cleansing that only Jesus can give us. And baptism does that. It's a real cleansing. Something happens when we go down in the water and there is a cleansing. So baptism, really, really important. Second thing to live in the light. Live in the light of your faith. I want to just read that scripture, that one verse, verse 12 in Colossians 2. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through your faith. Through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So one definition of faith is this. Faith is belief with strong conviction. A firm belief in something for which there may be no tangible proof. Complete trust in or devotion to. Well, faith is the opposite of doubt, isn't it? Faith is possibly the single most important element of the Christian life. In Hebrews 11:6, and you know, honestly, Hebrews 11 is just absolutely one of my favourite chapters in the Word of God. Verse 6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God. Can I say that again? Without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It's always a bit of a proviso, isn't there? He rewards those who earnestly seek him. But faith, in Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is being sure of what we hope for, sure, and certain of what we do not see. Well, there is much we do not see at the moment, but we will one day. Amen? It's going to be a great and awesome day when the Lord returns, I tell you. I'm looking forward to it. But Scripture explains to us that the source of our faith is God. He is the source of our faith. We can't just, you know, gee ourselves up with faith. We can't just do it ourselves. We just can't gee it up. It's like it is from God. In Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, I've just, in this last week, been doing a Bible study with a friend on Hebrews, and it's been quite an amazing journey, I think, for both of us. Yes, definitely for both of us. We just talked about it the other day. But I want to... Now, what have I done with my specs? You know, I've dropped them in the hallway. They went over the back of my chair and... Hello, thank you, Keith, for finding them. I may not have seen them there. But, you know, we look in chapter 11. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And we can understand, you know, some of these who were commended for their faith. Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Sarah. Hang on, didn't Sarah doubt? No, she's right here. She's in the faith chapter. Hey, it's okay, guys. If we have moments of doubts, we can still be in it, right? Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Oh, mighty man, Joseph. Moses, Rahab. Wasn't she a prostitute? Doesn't matter, does it? We're changed when we come to God and we believe in him. All the past is gone. We are his. Faith. I love that Rahab is in there. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, prophets. Who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the... Oh my gosh, it goes on and on. It's just so good. But you know, Hebrews 11 gives me encouragement because when you do a character study on each of them, as I've just done over these preceding weeks, you look and think, whoa, they mucked up that pretty badly in spots. But hey, they were people who did what God called them to do, whose faith was in God. And folks, we may not always get it right. I won't actually ask you to put your hand up for that. I'll just put mine up on behalf of us all. But it's okay, because God will take us through. And he forgives. And he leads us on. And he takes us to the place he wants us to be. And he guides us. And you know, as we ask for more faith, he gives that to us. Lord, give me an increase of faith, Lord. I just want to have more. I just want to have more, Lord. And he is the great giver of gifts. And he increases our faith. So live in the light of forgiveness. We live in the light of our baptism. We understand what that's done for us. We live in the light of faith. We know that we need that to walk in that, to grow in that. Third one is live in the light of forgiveness. Starting at verse 13. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He nailed it. He has taken it away and nailed it to the cross. You know, the false teachers at Colossae have been insinuating that the work in the faith in the work that Christ did on the cross was not enough to forgive sins. They were saying that either you had to keep Old Testament ceremonial laws or you had to observe, you know, man-made traditions in addition to your faith in Christ, or both, in order to be forgiven. But we know that the Bible takes a clear stand on Christ's work being the finished product for our salvation. There's a story of a doctor in a mining town, and he cared for patients for many, many years. And there were some patients who simply could not pay their bills. And when they couldn't pay, the doctor wrote cancelled beside their debts in his books. Years later, after he had died, his widow tried to collect those debts by taking the former patients to court. The judge ruled, if your husband said that the debt is cancelled, it is cancelled and can never be claimed again. Amen. Because of your faith in Christ's finished work on the cross, God has marked your sin debt cancelled. Cancelled. And it will never be held against you again. If something is haunting you from the past, I want to tell you, if you have gone to God, if you have repented and come to Him and are following Him, that is cancelled in Jesus' name. If Satan is bringing that up against you and it comes into your mind, you know, sometimes we can just speak the word in Jesus' name to the devil and go, stop, devil. In Jesus' name, I am telling you, that has been cancelled and I am white as snow. And then eyes on the Lord and thank Him for all that He has done for you and that you are clear that the debt is cancelled because of what Jesus has done for you. So, you know, what is forgiveness then? Now, mankind, as we all know, has a sinful nature. Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, and humans have been sinning against God ever since. But you know what? God just loves us too much to have us destroy ourselves in hell so that we wouldn't go to hell. So that we would be able to live our lives eternally with Him. He provided a way. Wasn't that awesome? He provided a way for us to be forgiven. That way is through Jesus Christ. Jesus confirmed that in no uncertain terms when He said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And that's what we believe. All this rubbish going around in the world, oh, there's many ways to God. No, there's not. There is not. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but by me. God's plan of salvation was to send Jesus to be the sacrifice, to send Him into the world here, to be the sacrifice for our sins. And the sacrifice was necessary to fulfill, to satisfy God's justice. Because our God is a just God. We look at the attributes of God, justice is one of them. Moreover, that sacrifice had to be spotless and blameless and perfect. So wasn't that, you know, because of our sinful nature, we can't repair it on our own. And only Jesus was qualified to do that. At the Last Supper, on the night before His crucifixion, He took a cup of wine and He said to the apostles, this is the blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And the very next day, Jesus died on the cross, His blood being poured out, atoning for our sin. And then on the third day, He rose from the dead, conquering death. For all of those who believe in Him as Saviour. So Jesus commanded that we repent, turn away from our sins to receive God's forgiveness. When we do, they're forgiven. And we are assured of eternal life in heaven. Amen? That's so good. What about forgiveness of others? I just want to allude to this as well. God's just really put on my heart to say about forgiving others this morning. You know, as believers, our relationship with God is restored, but what about our relationship with our fellow human beings? The Bible says that when somebody hurts us, we're under an obligation to forgive that person. Matthew 6:14-15, it says, Jesus is really clear, isn't he? When you read through the Gospels, you really get a grip on how clear Jesus is. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's blunt, isn't it? That's very blunt. Jesus was blunt, however. He's very straight. Refusing to forgive is a sin. If we receive forgiveness from God, we must give it to others too who hurt us. We cannot hold grudges or seek revenge. I hope no one in this place will ever say, I just can't forgive so-and-so. Because God says that we must. You know, 20 years ago probably now, I was holding, because of a particular situation, I was holding quite a lot of hurt, which was turning to bitterness. You know how that can happen? And I became aware of what was happening in me. And I thought to myself, this is not good, because I could feel it. And I didn't want to get that kernel of bitterness in my spirit. And I thought to myself, remember, I said to God, God, I just don't feel forgiving towards these ones. I just can't feel it at all so that I can do it. You know what God said to me? It was like clear as a bell. It wasn't audible, but it was clear as a bell. It's not about how you feel. You just choose to do it. And I went, oh, that was like a revelatory moment in my life. You just choose to do it. You just choose to do it. I thought, okay, I can do that. So in my head, I'm just like, I forgive. And then God spoke to me again. He says, do it out loud. My tongue nearly twisted into a knot. It was so hard to get out. I knew immediately why he'd said to me to do it out loud. Oh boy. A deep breath. Well, okay, I'm just going to choose to do this. And I did get it out, but it was a bit hard to do. But you know, that was breakthrough. That was my breakthrough moment. I learnt so much through that. So I did it out loud. Now, I couldn't say to you that I immediately felt anything, because I didn't. But I said, well, God, I've chosen to forgive them. I've done what you said. I've done it out loud even. And I mean it. Well, you know, some months later, I didn't think about it a lot more, to be honest. Some months later, I suddenly realised I could hug those people. See, you know, when I made the choice to forgive, God worked in me. I want you to remember that. You don't have to have a feeling before you forgive. You choose to forgive. My recommendation is you do it out loud, although it doesn't actually say that in the Word to do it. But it does talk about the power of the tongue in the Word of God, doesn't it? And the power of what we say. You know, God's an amazing God. He will take us through. You might be thinking, But Joan, you don't know what I've been through. No, I don't. But God does. And whatever it is, remember, he has forgiven you. And he said to us, we must forgive others. Okay? Forgive others so that God may forgive you. Number four, so live in the light of your baptism, live in the light of your faith, live in the light of forgiveness, live in the light of the power of the cross. It says, he has taken it away, that's all our indebtedness, and nailed it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. You know, we need to live in the light of the power of the cross, of what Jesus has done for them. He has done it all for us. He has nailed it all to the cross. You know, our attempts to reach God in our human strength fail. The only thing that works is God reaching man. There's no man-made formulas. There's no secret knowledge. There's no rules keeping. No false spirituality can bridge the gap between God and man. All of man's attempts to save himself are useless, null and void, because they're meant to draw attention to man. But God deserves the credit for establishing the only sufficient, the only workable plan, the only thing that works. You know, sometimes according to the reasoning of man, if I have a bigger rule book than you, I foolishly consider myself to be more spiritual. Never works, does it? Foolishness. Paul says in verse 23, rules don't have any power over our desires. The true passion, as we find out in 1 Corinthians 13, the true passion for serving God and others is love. Not rules. You know, Paul isn't saying that the law doesn't have its place. He's not saying that the law doesn't have its place. He's saying that its place is not to make us right with God. Only the cross of Jesus, the power of the cross of Jesus, the blood that he shed it for us. He shed it for us. And so we have access to all of those awesome things in God because what Jesus has done for us. Amen. Let's stand. Lord, today we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are our mighty God. We thank you that you are our awesome Father. We thank you, Lord, that we can live in the power that you have made available to us. That we can live in the power and in the light of our baptism. That we can live in the light of the faith that you give us. That we can live in the light of the forgiveness that you have bestowed on us. That we can live in the light of understanding the power of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for us. And Lord, this morning we say thank you. Thank you yet again, Lord. We honour your name in this house, Lord. We glorify your name. We lift your name above every name. And we thank you for what you have done. In Jesus' name.